take a seat. Well, good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be here with you this morning, preaching for the first time at the 9:30. So I'm really looking forward to doing that with you this morning. Let me pray as we start. Father God, we come before you this morning as those made by you, in your image, after your likeness, made to worship you. We thank you so much, Lord, for the gift of life that you've given us, for all the joys that come with that, Lord. And we ask now that we would listen to you, listen to you speak to us, our Creator and Father, as we speak from your word. And please, by your Holy Spirit, would you open up our eyes and minds to listen and love you more as a result. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when I was younger, about 10 years ago, I used to live... Why is that funny? I used to live in Kenya, in Nairobi, for about 2 years. When I went out with Crosslinks, some of you may have heard of the mission organisation, and I was a youth worker volunteer for a church in one of the slums, and I loved it. And as I was there, I started to learn the local language, Swahili, and I must say I got quite good at it, because I was being out there for 2 years. And one summer, when I was there, I took the local youth group, on a residential trip to Mombasa on the coast. And if any of you have ever been there, you'll know it's very, very hot. And in their summer, it can be in the 40s. So we were in Mombasa, and we were one day we were playing a game of volleyball on the beach. I was being shown up by all the Kenyans. And one of the lads, a guy called Thomas, I remember him very clearly, he's about 15 years old, suddenly passed out. Even for him, even for being a Kenyan, it was that hot. He hadn't had much water, and it was so hot, he just fainted. Not really sure what I should do at this point, but I had enough sense in me to run and go and get help. And I ran to one of the other leaders, who was the designated first aider. But he could only speak Swahili, not a word of English. But at this point, I was quite confident what I could speak. So I said to him, "Thomas, you know, he's... And the best Swahili I could come up with, you know, he's fainted due to the hot weather. Can you come and help?" And to my surprise, the colour drained from his face. He picked up the phone and started speaking very quickly. I couldn't understand. And then ran out the building down towards the beach. I was a bit, okay. So I followed him. And then moments later, the fire brigade arrived. And then the boy Thomas, who was sitting up by now, just having a bit of water, he looked fine. After a chat with the fire brigade, with the leader I told, they left. The leaders and everyone else started laughing. I didn't understand. Why are they laughing? I wanted to communicate with this first aider that Thomas, who had fainted, was very hot and passed out. What I actually said was Thomas, the boy who'd fainted, was on fire. See, the word for hot and fire in Swahili is pretty much the same word. It's moto. So he thought I'd said he was on fire, so obviously he naturally called the fire brigade and ran out, and I was left being rather embarrassed. Many things can go wrong, isn't it, when you don't understand each other. It can be funny, it's like that, but it can also be quite serious. Here's a story I read about earlier last week. In 1980, 18-year-old William Ramirez was admitted to a Florida hospital in a comatose state. His friends and family tried to describe his condition to the paramedics and the doctors who treated him, but they only spoke Spanish. Translation was provided by a bilingual staff member who translated intoxicado as intoxicated. A professional interpreter would have known that intoxicado is closer to poisoned and doesn't carry the same connotations of drug or alcohol use that intoxicated does. Ramirez's family believed he was suffering from food poisoning, but he was actually suffering from some form of brain hemorrhage. But the doctors proceeded as if he was suffering from a deliberate and intentional drug overdose, which can lead to some of the symptoms he displayed. Because of the delay in the correct treatment, Ramirez was left severely paralysed. He received, later on, a malpractice settlement of $71 million, so around £56 million today. And this story has now come to be known as the $71 million word. Now, one of the results of the fall, and in particular when we looked at our first reading in Genesis 11, is this issue of not understanding one another and the consequences that can lead to. So in Genesis 11, we had read earlier, we see the people getting together, don't they, and they make a grand idea of making a grand city with a huge tower that can reach as high as the heavens, as high as God. Why did they do that? To make a name for themselves. They were inward looking. It was all about them. But obviously we know God, seeing this, came down to them. He judged them and said, I'm going to confuse you. I'm going to scatter you over the whole earth. That was the consequence of their actions. So here in that context, not understanding one another was a punishment. It disunited them. And ever since that day, people have been scattered, speaking different languages. And throughout the rest of the Old Testament, as we know, the Lord God, he deals with one nation, Israel. Some of the others get a glimpse of that, like Ruth and Rahab and so on. But not everyone knows who the Lord is, who Yahweh is. The whole world are disunited, aren't they? They don't understand one another. And as a result, only Israel can understand who God is and receive salvation at that point. The rest of the world cannot know him. They are confused, like those at Babel, until Pentecost. Please, if you haven't already, turn now to Acts 2, page 123 of the New Testament. So we're forward 2,000 years or so from the Tower of Babel, from Abraham to Jesus, and things are pretty much still the same. People are still disunited, scattered, speaking different languages, and God's people are Israel. But as we know, that Jesus changed everything, didn't he? He came and was the fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham to forgive sins and to usher in a new age. And at this point in Acts, Jesus has now gone back to heaven, to his Father, and he does something amazing. So you see, the apostles were all gathered in a house celebrating the Old Testament festival of Pentecost, which then for them was an early wheat celebration. And they were gathered together in this house. And then we saw in verses 1 to 4 something very unique happening. A sound like a violent wind from heaven. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire. Now, this isn't an everyday experience, and I haven't experienced this. I don't think many of you experienced. The closest I have is when I first went to my mother-in-law's house and I set one of her tea towels on fire. This is obviously a unique event happening here, and we're meant to see that. We're told it's the coming of the Holy Spirit into the world, first onto dwelling with his disciples. Obviously, the Holy Spirit has been present in the Old Testament. He was there at creation. He was with some of the prophets, with David, with Samson, some of the other judges. But he wasn't with everyone. So what's happening here is very significant, and we need to listen up to this. Maybe for many of you, Pentecost is very familiar. Each year we look at it. But let's, if that's still so, let's remind ourselves what exactly is going on. Why is this so unique? I think there are two key things we can learn from this passage in Acts, from Pentecost. And firstly, it's all to do with proclamation. If you look at verses 5 to 11 of chapter 2. So in Jerusalem, there are the Jews staying there from many nations. They've travelled in. We're given a list in verse 9. The nations across Africa, Asia, Europe. And they're all speaking different languages. But the amazing thing, what's happening here, isn't it, is the Holy Spirit, he's come on the apostles. They're all from Galilee, so naturally they could all speak one language. But they're now being able to speak in all the languages that the people there represent. Those who speak Egyptian can hear the apostles speaking Egyptian. Those who speak Greek can hear the apostles speaking Greek. Those who speak Latin can hear those speaking Latin. And if you and I were there, we could understand each other. You from the north, you say grass and path, and I would understand it as grass and path. It would have been brilliant. There wouldn't be a need for any translators. This was clearly a miracle though, wasn't it? And we're not left in the dark. Verse 14, good old Peter stands up and explains exactly what's going on. He addresses the crowd in 14 to 21, and he quotes the Old Testament prophet Joel. When you read it, what's going on, some of the wording is maybe a bit confusing. But it's basically, he's quoting Joel 2. And why? Because he's doing that, he's basically saying, now that Joel 2 prophecy is now fulfilled now, here and now. In the last days, the Spirit will come. God will pour out a Spirit. That's happened now. We are now in the last days. That's what Peter's saying. And not only has the Spirit come down, but he's come to be on all people. If you look at verse 17 and 18. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. On your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon the slaves, my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit. And they shall prophesy. Visions, dreams, prophecy. It's all a bit weird, but what do they all have in common? It's to do with conveying a message, isn't it? It's proclaiming something. It all has to do with proclamation. And unlike in the Old Testament, when only the Israelites could understand and receive these, the message of God, now in the last days, anyone can. Male, female, sons, daughters, servants, slaves, young, old. This is the miracle of Pentecost, that the proclamation, the message goes out to anyone. Anyone can proclaim it. But there's a reason for this, and that's the second key thing that's going on at Pentecost. So what is it they are to proclaim? Is it anything? No, no. It's salvation. See, in verse 11, when the apostles are speaking in all the different languages, and they're speaking about the good deeds of power, or the wonders of God, and more clearly, at the last verse that we had read, verse 21, then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The last days, anyone can prophesy, anyone. And what are they going to prophesy? Salvation. The word of the Lord, God's word, the good news of Jesus. The primary miracle of Pentecost is proclamation. The primary message of Pentecost is salvation. They're the two key things. So now, anyone can do it. Not just prophets or apostles, but anyone. We're all like mini prophets in that sense. We can understand God's word. We can tell others about God's word, and that's us prophesying to people. When we're in our home groups, we're prophesying. When we open up God's word in one-to-ones, we're prophesying. We're proclaiming God's word. So in that sense, we're mini prophets. We've been all given this message, the Bible. And as we believe in Jesus, we're given the Holy Spirit who comes into us and enables us and gives us the power to do that. You see what's happened here at Pentecost, that first Pentecost we hear about. It's a complete turnaround, isn't it, of Babel. In Babel, God came down to cause disunity and confusion by mixing up the languages and causing them to not understand one another. But here at Pentecost, in the last days, God's come down to bring unity. He enabled them to understand one another despite their language barriers so they could hear and proclaim the gospel and receive salvation. The people of Babel, inward looking, But now God's people are to be outward looking and spread the gospel. So for us today, well, we're in the last days, so the application, I guess, is really simple. Firstly, we're to see the miracle of Pentecost. We're to hear the good news, and if we haven't already, we're to turn to Christ and receive salvation. No matter who we are, no matter where we've come from, whether that's from the north or the south, whether that's we're middle class or working class or upper class, whether we're English or not, we're to hear and see the miracle of Pentecost and understand God's word for ourselves. And then the Spirit will come and open our eyes, and we'll belong to a family. Each one of you here, if you're trusting in Christ, we're all God's family. We can all be here for one another, praising God forever, encouraging one another because of Pentecost. And that is such a privilege and a joy. You can't be too good enough for God, and you can't be too bad enough for God. If you trust in Jesus, you're in him. Done. And secondly, if you already are saved, then we're to speak the message, we're to proclaim the message of Pentecost. Now, we're all living in the last days, we're all mini prophets, so we're called to go out, aren't we, to spread the gospel. We see in the rest of Acts that the gospel goes out, that even though persecution comes, that's actually God's way of spreading the gospel. And it kind of, Acts leaves us on a cliffhanger, doesn't it, of what's happening next. Well, now it's our job. It's our job to go out and keep spreading the gospel, keep telling people about Jesus and it's good news that if they call upon his name, they will be saved. We have that privilege. The primary miracle of Pentecost is proclamation, and the primary message is salvation. So let us turn to him for salvation and then turn to one another to proclaim his salvation. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this message of Pentecost, that your Spirit came down on all people so we can proclaim your word to all people, that not just one nation, Israel, but all nations can understand and hear God's word and be united to Christ. We thank you so much for this miracle of Pentecost, and we thank you so much that the message is of salvation, that we can all be prophesying. We can all take out the gospel to others in our workplaces, in our homes, in our families, in those we meet on the street, everywhere, to anyone. Please humble us. Please give us boldness to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.